Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
10:02 on this Labor Day Monday. Mark Malus is in for BT and Sal. You've got Dove Isaiah across the way on the side at the controls as we're rolling right up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. In for the boys on this holiday Monday. Hopefully everyone out there enjoying what is a lovely weekend as it is football week. And we'll get into a little Jets and Giants as the NFL season gets going on Thursday night. Jets in action on Sunday against Pittsburgh. Giants in action against Pittsburgh, I should say. Giants in action on the road taking on the Washington Commanders. And we'll mix a little NFL into the course of the conversation. But we begin with the Mets. And listen, I was on the airwaves last Thursday, midday, right? And I think sometimes it comes down. We talk about it with my kids all the time, my wife and I, accountability, right? It's a big word when you're raising kids. I talk about the, you know, the dangerous aspect, comparatively speaking, when you're looking at the Mets and the Yankees. And the Mets, after a sweep of the Philadelphia Phillies, as Gary Cohen is going out there and saying game on, the Mets then go out there and lose 3 of 4 against the dreadful Miami Marlins, who as an organization, regardless of the names on the back of the jerseys, regardless of who's managing in the dugout, just have a penchant for going out there beating the Mets late in the season. We've seen it before, historically speaking, and we saw it this past weekend out in Queens as, you know, the big issue for the New York Mets, as you heard Mendoza with the CeeLo cut right there at the top of the hour, here's the problem you have with the Mets. The rotation stinks. I mean, outside of Nolan McClain, you know, and Tong was okay on Friday night. I mean, a major league debut, family in attendance, you know, the emotions of it. I mean, he was okay. He was fine. You know, he's obviously, I mean, a godsend as comparatively speaking when you're watching David Peterson go out there, give up 8 runs in 2 innings. When you're listening, you know, watching Kodai Senga yesterday afternoon as Mendoza talked about the fact that anytime he went into the strike zone, he got absolutely pounded. He was dreadful. How about the no late life when you're looking at Sean Manaea in the late fastball? How exactly, you know what the Mets win percentage, and this is DeComo. You know what the Mets win percentage in the last 68 games is? 412. That's what the Mets win percentage is the last 68 games. 412. That's terrible. Everybody else, I mean, there are 4 or 5 other teams, as DeComo pointed out, who does a great job covering the Mets for MLB. You know, they're all in 4th or 5th place. I mean, they're all dreadful baseball teams. And that's exactly what this Met team showed you this past weekend. It's almost like, you know, last week against the Philadelphia Phillies was a complete and utter outlier. But how exactly, make it make sense when you're looking at this, and we've given the Mets all the credit in the world, you know, for the pitching lab, Jeremy Hefner for the pitching lab, for what they've done and, you know, turned careers around. When you look at Manaea and the delivery a year ago, when you look at Luis Severino, who spoke glowingly of the Mets. Severino was dying to come back to the Mets, you know, was willing to come back for less money than he signed with the Sacramento A's. And the Mets said, thanks, but no thanks. They bring in Frankie Montas. When Frankie Montas was healthy, he's a disaster. Obviously, he's now suffered a significant elbow injury. And Montas in that starting rotation was a disaster. Peterson, you know, was an all-star this year. I think his ERA was north of 6 in the month of August. When you look at Kodai Senga, since he suffered that hamstring injury, has really been non-competitive. You look at Clay Holmes. I mean, Clay Holmes has been a godsend. I mean, when you think about it, comparatively speaking, when you look at as of late, as compared to the other 3 starters in this rotation, outside of Nolan McClain, who's got 3 starts and a .89 ERA, Clay Holmes has actually been pretty good, even though he does not go into deep into games, and he has a tendency to walk guys left and right. So even though we want, you know, and I talk about the danger of the New York Mets, and you talk about the wide open aspect of the National League, and, you know, in terms of the upper echelon teams, the Philadelphia Phillies losing Zach Wheeler, the Dodgers not necessarily being the LA Dodgers, especially up until this point of the year, that you expected, you know, taking the NL by storm as, you know, as coming off the World Series championship. When you look at that roster, whether it be underperformance or injury, the Dodgers have not exactly been that. You give Preller credit with the San Diego Padres for the moves that they made at the MLB trade deadline. You got the Milwaukee Brewers who had that were as hot as any team in all of Major League Baseball about 2 or 3 weeks ago. You got the Cubs who are going to be a playoff team. But you look at the Mets and you say to yourself, well, if you can get back to where you were a year ago, yeah, the lineup has picked it up. I mean, we've pleaded for Juan Soto to have, you know, big time hits. Juan Soto since July the 29th. You know what? He's been good with runners in scoring position. Alonso has had a huge bounce back year. You've got Lindor, obviously, Nimmo. Mark Vientos is starting to find it. You know, had a, you know, 9-10 game hitting streak in which he was having big moments, big home runs. And at least they showed you a pulse when they find behind, you know, fell behind at one point in time 8-2 against the Miami Marlins on Saturday night and rallied back to tie that game up at 8. But still had an opportunity late in that game. Man on third, McNeil triple, nobody out, don't score the run. They lose that game 11-8. You know, to the Miami Marlins. And give them credit, Miami bounced back after getting humbled on Friday night. But the Mets, this starting rotation stinks. I mean, absolutely stinks. There's no other way to cut it. You know, we can look at it, and any other, we can look at other things, and people have called up, and they want to blame Mendoza for the way that he handles different things. They want to blame Mendoza for this, blame Mendoza for that. It does come down to performance. And yes, there needs to be, as Mendoza talked about after the game yesterday afternoon, and yet another loss to the Miami Marlins, as that division, after Gary Cohn said game on, after sweeping away the Philadelphia Phillies, and they were within four games of the National League East, well, the NL East is now gone. The Mets could cement what they did against Philadelphia, home against the Miami Marlins, lose 3 of 4. And the one game was the daylight victory where you get the start from Jonah Tong. But you have to start to hold accountability here. You know, the pitching lab, which we've talked about time and time and time and time and time and time again. You know, the idea of what David Stearns likes to do and how he likes to attack this starting rotation. You know, yes, Nolan McLean, great developmental starter, guy that stepped up to the major league level and has been utterly brilliant, fantastic. But is that has breathed a little life into this organization when he starts. Have they been able to build any sort of momentum in that starting rotation off of his starts? The answer to that is no. And you get to a point here where a team is what it is. You can't go out there and tell people something that's not there, something that's not true. I thought maybe the Mets were going to build upon something after they went out there and swept the Philadelphia Phillies, and then they go out against the Miami Marlins in a myriad of different ways outside of Friday night, embarrass themselves. And you got a sense that Miami was ticked off that Torrens was in the game on Friday night. And they should, but they have nobody to blame but themselves because their starters and their bullpen were not competitive. And the Mets went out there and took all of their frustrations out on them. But did that do anything on Saturday and Sunday? Did absolutely nothing. And it still comes at some point in time when you look at Major League Baseball, and unfortunately, we have gotten to a point in Major League Baseball where we have devalued the starter. The starter goes less and less. He doesn't learn to compete. He doesn't learn how to pitch when he's got his B or C plus stuff. You don't want to see the starter in the third time through the rotation. You're constantly analyzing spin rate, where it is, comparatively speaking, first inning to fourth inning, you know, pitch 30 to pitch 60 to pitch 75. Heaven forbid a guy goes out there and throws 100 pitches. I mean, all of this stuff. You know, the arm is all of a sudden going to fall off. You know, everyone's bigger, faster, stronger. Athletes know more about their bodies today than they ever did before. I understand they throw with higher velocity. I get it. And velocity is king when we come to Major League Baseball. But we've done a terrible job as a sport, when you're looking at Major League Baseball, of developing guys of how to battle through and leaning in to the competitiveness of an individual. Listen, athletes are great. They've got God-given ability. The work ethic is off the charts. To be able to make it to the major leagues, you've got to be, you're one of one. It really is. A lot of things have got to break your way. You got to be able to stay healthy. You have to have the God-given ability. You've got to go out there and have the work ethic. You've got to have the compete, and you got to have the drive. When you get to the major league level, as a starter now, you look at it, we get to a scenario where they lean less and less into the compete level and the battle level of these starters. And now you get to this Met team, and you get to this organization where they've leaned in. Kodai Senga, Manaea, David Peterson, Clay Holmes. The outlier is obviously McLean in his three starts. You throw Jonah Tong into the mix. This starting rotation, how exactly do you look at this group outside of McLean and Tong has made one start. How exactly do you look at this group, even with the starters being devalued, even with them going less and less into games, how do you look at this group and say, yes, that's a group on the whole that could go out there and get this team through the National League and into the Fall Classic with a straight face? No punchline to a joke, with an absolute straight face based on what we have witnessed, what we have seen. I mean, Peterson looks gassed. I mean, he's made 26 starts. This is the high watermark for his career. You look at Senga, you have the manager going out there and basically saying he's not competing. Manaea, every time he makes a start, he's in the dugout in the fifth or sixth inning with a rally cap on, hoping the offense can pick him up. That is the state of the New York Mets right now. That is where they're at. So we could go out there and listen. On the other day, on Thursday, I talked about an accountability. I came out there and talked about the Mets if certain things go their way, if the rotation is able to come together, and they need more than just Nolan McLean. They need a Senga. They need a Manaea. They need a Peterson. They need at least two of those guys, throwing Clay Holmes, two of those four, to be able to follow the brilliance of Nolan McLean, build a little bit of momentum. McLean has given the team a spark when he has started. Outside of that, has done next to nothing. This rotation has embarrassed themselves outside of McLean. There's no momentum building. There's nothing. Listen, I think they're a playoff team. I've made that perfectly clear. I don't think the Cincinnati Reds are good enough to track down the New York Mets here in the wild card race in the National League. And I get the regular season necessarily doesn't have anything to do with what we see in October. But that pitching lab, someone needs to knock on that door. That analytics department, whatever they are doing, however they're working, the development of starters, how they look at veterans and say, well, you know what, go out there and attack in a different way. That analytics department needs to go out there and they need to get back to work. Because you've got now 25, 26 games to figure it out. And we are sitting here now, you know, on September the 1st. It is Labor Day. It's a holiday Monday in big, bad New York City. The Mets just dropped 3 of 4 to the dreadful Miami Marlins. The National League East is gone. They're in a battle. The battle's a little strong. I don't think the Reds are going to track them down. But the Mets have got to go out there and figure out a way to get somewhat. I don't need great. I don't need brilliant. I need competitive. Can't be a doormat when you're looking at the starting rotation outside of McLean and basically say, you know what, we're still going to be good enough. We have focused in on the bullpen. Helsley coming in the sixth inning the other night on Friday night with the intro, which makes little to no sense. I mean, setup men do not need intros, but that's a story for another day. And glad that he has figured out the fact that he was tipping pitches because, I mean, he was basically bringing the gas canister to the mound every time he stepped on the rubber. So hopefully they figured that out. They went out there and attacked the back end of the bullpen. They added Mullins because Taylor wasn't great in center field offensively. Mullins is giving you next to nothing. We've complained about Juan Soto, whether or not he's a happy camper in Queens after signing a $765 million contract. I'll be honest with you, you could stick me on the moon. My wife would like to, at most days, stick me on the moon for $765 million. I'll be a happy camper. As long as I have oxygen to breathe, I'll be okay. I'll be A-okay. We have spent a lot of time talking about that. Soto's finally hitting in the clutch. We spent a lot of time talking about Mendoza and his managerial style. What the Mets' goals are this year. The fact that they've, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures. The call-up of two young hurlers in McLean, who's been brilliant. Three starts, .89 ERA. Jonah Tong on Friday night. One of these other guys. One. How about that? Crawl before you walk, walk before you run. One of them. And what is his lab doing, by the way? I mean, what are these guys in the back room doing when they're analyzing stuff? What are they doing? Because you know what? What Mendoza had to say yesterday, yes, a conversation needs to be had. Kodai stinks. Like, we can't continue to go out there and do it and hope and pray that something is going to all of a sudden change. Like, he has been terrible. Like, whatever he's working on the side, whatever it might be, I don't want to hear about tipping pitches. He's non-competitive. Peterson was awful on Saturday. You look at it, I mean, you throw at Sean Manaea. How many high fastballs do I have to see tomahawk 400 feet to realize Manaea's not the same pitcher he was a year ago? Give the Met fan credit. They're packing the house out in Queens. They are. They've responded. Cohen basically set down the mantra. I want more people in attendance. There's no pleads by Nimmo like it was a year ago. Late in the season, please show up. It's like we got a big game coming up, and you know what? Big series coming up, and finally the Met faithful showed. You spent $765 on Soto, and the Met faithful have showed up. Now it's time for this organization, Stearns & Company. Hello. Look at this rotation outside of McLean. The rest of them, Tong, okay. He's made one start. Can't count him as a certainty. Did he look okay on Friday night? He looked okay. Did he look downright brilliant like McLean has looked? No, he is not. The rest of them are terrible. Well, I'll give Holmes all credit. Holmes has not been terrible. He's been okay for what you're asking Clay Holmes to do. That's a tough weekend. You know, you punch your ticket, take three, you know, sweep away the Philadelphia Phillies, you know, get to Duran with four straight hits. You rally back in one game from 3-0 down. You're celebrating out in Queens. The Marlins come to town who've got nothing to play for. You scored 19 on Friday night, and you dropped 3 of 4. I don't need any more stories about the pitching lab in the offseason. Where it's gone wrong. Hefner is a pitching coach. The brilliance of the New York Mets and how they're developing guys and finding guys, you know, off the scrap heap and, you know, bringing them new life into their career. That hasn't worked this year. And it's late. We're not in May. We're not in June. We're not in July. We're not even in August anymore. We have hit September. We got two teams here in this city that are going to be in the playoffs. There's no doubt. Mets, unless they swallow their tongue, are going to be in the playoffs. Anything's possible. You never know. But, I mean, 25, 26 to go, they're going to be a playoff team. I don't think the Reds are good enough to track them down. But they have played 4-13 baseball over the last 68 games. And even though the starters have been devalued across Major League Baseball, not to the point where the Mets are testing that right now, outside of one guy. You want to talk about the emphasis on the bullpen and how you need a strong bullpen and get into that bullpen. You don't want to see a lineup third time through. Well, I mean, listen. Senga, Manaea, and Peterson are basically saying, hold my beer. And they go out there and it is like dreadful to watch. When you have your manager in today's day and age, when we get on Boone and talks about the fact that doesn't hold his players accountable, still goes out there, defends, still goes out there and drives Yankee fans crazy. You obviously get to a point of frustration when you hear Mendoza post-game yesterday after the Senga. Conversation needs to be had. When he's competitive in the strike zone, he gets hit. Otherwise, he doesn't compete. And he's not throwing competitive pitches. That's where we're at with Kodai Senga. Happy Labor Day, everybody. 888-808-1019. That is your number to call. Mark Melusis in for BT and Sal. I want to thank our friends at Town Fair Tire. They remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires you trust from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire, and I mean nobody. 808-1019 is your number to call. Let's head out to Venice, Florida. It's Mike. It's the fan. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, brother. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, happy Labor Day to you. Appreciate you working today. I'm actually on my way to work this morning, too, driving down U.S. 41. Got to tell you, I feel like I'm listening to a sermon this morning. And if you gave me your address, I'd send you a check because I was thinking I was going to have to go to a therapist after watching the Mets this last month. You know, spot on, like you said, everybody wants Mendoza's head, but it's, you know, it's what we paid these guys to do, to pitch. It seems like nobody can find the damn strike zone. And like he said, when they do, their pitches are not competitive in the zone. This morning, I was on Baseball Reference, and do you realize in the last 30 days, in every offensive category, we lead the major leagues. In other words, and we came out of August with an 11-17 record. It's kind of inexcusable. It's almost tough to watch anymore. We put our pitchers out there. They don't even get into the third inning, and their pitch count is 50 or 60 pitches. I know everybody wants Mendoza's head, but I kind of wonder, how does Hefner still have a job?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is more organizational than anything else. Like, Hefner's not operating alone on an island. There's a lot of people that play a role here. This is kind of an organizational focus. I joke around about the pitching lab, but it's just not on one guy. Like, you can go out there and it doesn't matter. It's just the approach and what they emphasize and what they de-emphasize, what they look at a starter and feel like, or say a pitcher in particular, that they want to go out there and rebuild or work on. They've had a difficult time with these guys. Here's what you need to know, Mike. In essence, like, and Mendoza could say everything he had to say afterward, and we could look at Sproat making 9 strikeouts in his last start and, you know, how he's turned a corner down in the minor leagues. He's got a 2.44 ERA, I believe, over his last 3 or 4 starts down in the minor leagues, maybe 5, something of that nature. Now all of a sudden you're banking on a team or a team to go on a deep run where, you know, is it conceivable, I guess, where you're then going to lean into young starters getting you home? I mean, that to me is a little bit too much. I mean, it really is. Like, at some point, one of these guys, and Senga, listen, there's no doubt the dip in velocity. You can't continue to do this and expect, a different result. So maybe the Mets, but there's not enough youngsters to fill all the holes. There really isn't.
Agree.
So one of these guys, and you got to be competitive. Senga's not competitive. Manaea's not competitive.
Agree.
You look at Peterson, Peterson, last 5 starts, his ERA is north of 7.
Yeah.
Like, that's not competitive.
Same with Senga and Manaea, and I agree with everything you say. I appreciate your passion so much. You know, it reminds me of, like, watching most of those starters reminded me of watching Steven Matz. When all of a sudden they're non-productive, it's like they give up on the mound almost. And I know they don't, but it's been very frustrating watching, especially with struggling with runners in scoring position all year long. Finally, the team starts to gel offensively, and the pitching staff goes down the drain.
Yeah, and they've come around offense. And listen, because of their offense and because of their lineup, I mean, you do not need, you know, Koufax and Drysdale. I mean, you just can't have this. The Mets don't need a staff where you're going to win games 3-2. And it's going to be based on your starters or based on your bullpen, based on nifty defense, maybe generate a run late. We're all caught up in the fact that Soto's got, 24, 25 steals on the season and potentially being a 30-30 guy. I think he's got 25 steals on 26 attempts on the year. And he was asked about that Saturday after yet another Met loss to the Miami Marlins. That time 11-8 after they rallied back from 8-2 down. Vientos with a big 3-run homer. Still, an L is an L. This is not a matter of handing out awards because of effort or the fact that, they didn't lay down like a dog. An L is an L. But now we're all caught up in the fact that Soto's caught up. It'd be pretty cool, and I'm trying to help my team in any which way, which I understand. I don't necessarily care about Soto going 30 and 30 this year. I really don't. And I don't think Met fans are all caught up in that as well. I think there's a little or a big time concern about the non-competitiveness outside of McLean when you're looking at this starting rotation. Can't count on Tong. He's made 1 start. Was it a good start? Yeah, but that was a laughing stock of a game in which the Mets went out there and scored 19 runs. So we'll see exactly what Tong is like next start. I think is on the road in Cincinnati against the Reds. Let's head out to Queens. It's Richie. It's the Fan. What's going on, Richie?
Moose, how are you?
Richie, I'm doing well, buddy. How are you? Happy Labor Day.
Yeah, you too. Let's go to good and the bad. The good right now, to me, is the Yankees. And I know their record has not been good, obviously, 4-15, 4-16 against the Red Sox in Toronto. I put that behind. I don't believe in jinxes. I just believe you start to play well, and you can beat anybody. And I know that they played lousy teams. That's okay, because Houston lost 2 out of 3 from Pittsburgh. I mean, it happens. You've got to win, and you just beat the opponents that you've got. I like what I see with their starting pitching. I mean, Hill and Freeze seems to be back, and Rodon, everybody says, you don't trust him. I don't go by that. Right now, you have to trust him because he's pitching well. I think the bullpen, Bednar, I like Cruz coming back. I think Williams is getting better. Weaver, even my guy, Duvall. If you get the good Duvall, Moose, he's really good. So You know, and the positives are that they're hitting. You know, you just hope they hit in good situational hitting. They've been known to hit a lot of home runs and then go into a funk. But right now, they've got Houston. They've got Toronto. Just do what they've been doing. And if I pitch well, you know, they'll win these games. So I like what I see there.
Well, I wish it was that easy, Richie. You know what their record is against their next four opponents?
I know. It's terrible.
What is it?
The next four?
Yeah,
well, they're 12-15 under.
I mean 7-19, 12 games under.
Yeah, and I know, but that again, that's okay. But get over that. It's just like, you know what?
No, I'd like to see the Yankees outside of like celebrating, going out there and I understand tough loss on Sunday. Got to go out there. And you want to sweep away the White Sox and make it 8 straight victories. And it was a nice bounce back victory. You know, 8 days ago after losing the first 3 against the Toronto Blue Jays, embarrassed the Nats, embarrassed the White Sox were, you know, 2 of those victories. One of them they won in extra innings and showed a little bit of a pulse in extra innings, which this Yankee team has a penchant not to do during the course of the regular season. Like to see them show, don't be a doormat next 12.
Right? I agree. And you know what? I think it's a barometer for them. If they go 2-8 again, they're not going to just eat my words at this point. But I think they've shown something. And if the confidence builds up and they start to say, you know what, we're capable of doing this, against good teams, let's hope they do it. With the Mets, totally agree. The pitching is just a funk at this point. You know, I initially, in the beginning of the year, was shocked how good their pitching was because I thought the pitching would be a real issue for them. So at this point, if they don't get the starting pitches, they do have a 4-game lead over the Reds are really struggling. My team is 5 back in Giants. Do I think that they're going to give that up? You know, it's 22 games to go. I've seen things happen where it can. I just think if that pitching doesn't come around, it could be an issue at this point. It obviously will be an issue.
It is an issue. I mean, I don't know how it's exactly going to turn it around. I mean, the Mets could continue to tell you that they're working with Kodai Senga. A conversation needs to be had. Continue to tell you about, you know, Peterson, or we could talk about tipping pitches with Helsley, or you get into Manaea. Like, it's just not good enough. Like, but yeah, if you're a Mets fan, you're to the point now when you look at these starters where you circle the dates that McLain is starting. Remember Harvey Day? Now it's McLain Day. So tomorrow night in Detroit, it's McLain Day. And then a Tuesday, September 9th, you want to watch a good start, you can count on those because that's basically about it. Everything else, you want to throw a Tong into the mix? I don't know if it's only I think I could throw Tong into the mix. I'm excited to see where you start too. So circle the date, Friday, September 5th, this Friday night. Tong on the mound in Cincinnati, taking on the Reds, which is a 6:40 start. Outside of that, the rest of them, it's like a roll of the dice. You're at like the craps table.
Yeah, it is a roll of dice. But, you know, Manaea, you know, maybe give, can Manaea turn it around? He's proven last year he hasn't had a great track record for 8 years. You know, he's been, last year was his best year ever. But could he pick it up? Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's up with Song at this point. I mean, he's just been terrible. But Peterson, I'm not going to give up on Peterson Moose. He had a couple of bad starts. He's been a legitimate, I think he's a 2, but he's pitched as a 1. And I think the back end of the bullpen, yeah, Helsley's got a proven record. Soto has been good. Rogers, obviously, Diaz. I just think that with a 4-game lead, unless they totally collapse, and yes, will they? If they stagger into the playoffs, how good are they going to be? And when you're depending on 2 rookies, yeah, that is an issue. So, yes.
Well, Richie,
they have issues,
Peterson,
they have problems, no doubt about it.
I would agree, is Peterson's less concerning. His ERA in August was 6.6, 6.68. He had a couple of good starts, and a couple of starts that were really bad, non-competitive. So, yeah, you want to say like he's not at the top of the list of concerns? Okay, that's fair. I mean, Holmes has been a little bit more consistent. But I think there's a level that Clay Holmes could pitch to that is not as high as the others that we have seen so far as his career as a starter on the major league level. Terry in Astoria, which has been brief. What's going on, Terry?
Hey, Mark, excellent commentary. Hey, listen, you mentioned that one word that really put a knife in my back, and that's analytics. My personal viewpoint is analytics is destroying this game of baseball. And I don't understand why all these clubs have spent supposedly millions of dollars putting analytics departments together. And then when you look at the standings today,
yes,
30 major league teams, 15 of the teams are in double digits, 20 games out, over 30 games out. You don't see nothing like it used to be. The pitchers are going 4 innings, 5 innings. I mean, it's, and you know, and let me just say this other thing too that really bothers me. Rob Manfred, the baseball commissioner, should be investigated, okay? He brought in gambling everywhere, inside the ballparks, commercials, Major League Baseball, everywhere. And here's a guy that wanted to keep Pete Rose out of the Hall of Fame because he gambled on his own team.
Pete Rose broke a rule. Like, and listen, Pete, Pete was his own worst enemy as well.
And then Rob Manfred didn't break the rule?
Wait, hold on a second. Our players, you've got two players in Cleveland, two pitchers, two relievers that have been suspended by Major League Baseball under a gambling investigation. You can't gamble. Money's money, Terry. Like, they're all in it. Baseball. It's the NFL. It's the National Hockey League. It's the NBA. They're all involved.
They all have partners. I agree.
So why is that a Manfred problem? You want to talk about the competitive balance? Well, yeah, that's an issue. I mean, they've expanded the playoffs. There's teams that go into the season that have little to no chance of making it into the postseason. Is that good for the sport? No, that's not good for the sport. What drives the National Football League? Okay, well, what drives the NFL? Easy sport to watch on TV. Some believe it's better to watch at home than it is going to the stadium to watch an NFL game. Gambling, fantasy football, all that. Easiest sport to gamble on, to understand how to gamble on. The knockout pools, fantasy sports. All that goes into the popularity of the National Football League. But also what helps the NFL is the word parity, right? Is that you don't just draw a line every given season and say that without a shadow of a doubt, you know, these are the teams that are definitely going to make it. There might be a couple, right? The Chiefs, you look at the Bills, you look at the Ravens this year, you look at the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC. They might be at the top of the list. You might look at the Buccaneers and say they're the best team in the NFC South. But parity rules supreme in the NFL. Major League Baseball has got a lot of issues. Do I think the commissioner has made some boneheaded decisions over the course of time? I do. Do I think he's made some good decisions? Yes. And every decision is not going to prove out to be the right one.
Say, Mark, I have another point.
Yeah.
How come, when I just mentioned, all these major league pitchers are going 4 or 5 innings, and not too long ago, 20 to 30 pitchers were going full 9 innings, never had Tommy John surgery, and that's why I bring in analytics. They are babying these pitchers down there. The player development with these analytic people are destroying these pitchers.
You know what, Terry? I think it's a kind of a loaded question. I think there's a lot of layers that you can get into. I don't think the body is made, regardless of the size of the individual, to consistently in the arm, to be able to hold up, to throw in the ball with the velocity that pitchers throw at now consistently. At some point in time, you know, there might be an outlier here or there of a guy that physically can handle it. But at some point in time, you're dealing with kind of a loaded gun. At some point in time, there's going to be a significant injury that happens. You know, whether it be the elbow, the Tommy John surgery, then coming back from Tommy John surgery, it's going to happen. It's like a ticking bomb. So I don't think, but that's where baseball is now. So you want to look at the way that pitchers are babied? Yes, they are. You want to look at teams are deathly afraid of pushing a guy because of, fear of injury or fatigue factor. But I think you learn something about pitchers. I think you learn something about people, individuals, the competitive nature, what separates the greats from the good when they're a little bit fatigued and they're able to go out there and battle through. You lean into the competitive nature of the individual. That's why I screamed and hollered when Snell was taken out of the game for the Rays, you know, a number of playoffs ago. I mean, it made little to no sense. I had the analytics people coming out and said, look at his spin rate. His spin rate had dropped. I don't care. Like, I really don't. You know, I had the privilege of sitting down a number of years ago with Bobby Ojeda when I worked at SNY, and Bobby was doing Mets games, pre and post on SNY. And I used to love to sit down and chat with Bobby when he had time, and talk pitching. And Ojeda used to always talk about the fact, and I chatted with David Cohen at his charity golf event last month down in Jersey for the Ed Lucas Foundation. You know, you learn something about pitchers when, you know, they don't have their best stuff. You learn something about yourself. It's easy. If you're talented enough to make it to the major league level and you've got your A-plus stuff, it's easy to go out there and pitch really, really well. What about when you have your B stuff? Or, you know, you can't spot your fastball like you once did to be able to keep hitters off balance. But why do pitchers break down? Why do teams not go out there and allow a pitcher to go out and push himself? Well, because they're deathly afraid. Third time through, they're deathly afraid. Spin rate is king. Velocity is king. Once they start to, and now we emphasize the bullpens. Got to get into that bullpen as quick as you possibly can and go bring in one guy after another that's throwing the ball 97, 98 miles an hour. That's where we're at. That's the sport. I mean, that's really where it, but bring it back to the conversation that began the program this morning. When you look at the New York Mets, I mean, you've got to have your starters do something. You can't have it what it's right now. I mean, you can't be circling the calendar, and if you're a Met fan, putting your head to the pillow the night before and saying, man, thank God it's a Nolan McLean day tomorrow because we're going to actually get a quality start. That's not sustainable. 888-808-1019. That is your number to call. I want to tell you, four distinct. All right, time right now for the Wendy's Yankees Turning Point of the Game contest. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. Be the first caller right now. Correctly identify yesterday's Turning Point of the Game. 866-540-WFAN. 866-540-9326. You'll receive two pairs of tickets to a Yankee 2025 regular season game. It's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, which is us right here, WFAN. All right, Mark Malusis with you on this Labor Day Monday. It's a midday in for BT and Sal. Take you right up until 2. McPherson comes your way then. Let's head out to Waterbury, Connecticut. It's Ray. It's the Fan. What's going on, Ray?
Hi, Mark. Great monologue as usual with the Mets. Mark, I agree with you. The pitching's awful. You know what? One more. I have no confidence in Manaea today. If he does another four innings and the velocity drops off like a rocket, shut him down, get the elbow fixed, and Senga's unpitchable. You know what I do right now? I never thought I'd be clamoring for McGill. Sproat and McGill, and figure out your rotation from there. That's the. I know it's you're counting on too many young kids, but you know what? I'll roll the dice that way. You know, the bottom line is you can't. Those two right now. One more bad outing, Manaea. He's not pitchable as well as Senga. You know. I'll leave Peterson in there, figure out Holmes, and you got the two kids, and I bring Sproat in. Figure it out. But because this, you know, they got a tough week this week, Mark.
No,
they
tough week.
They could blow the four game lead this week.
Yeah, and McGill, you pray he's going to make one more start down in the minors before the Mets could consider activating him. Yeah, I mean, it can't be this. Like, this is, I mean, Ray, you've got to start to seriously delve into some options here because you can't continue to put your team behind the eight ball outside of one guy in that rotation. And you can't count Tong off one start Friday night in a game that he won 19-9. But, you know, and there were things to like and things not to like, or things to be a little bit concerned about whether or not he's ready as compared to what you saw on Friday night. But he was better, certainly, than some of the other guys you've gotten here. You're not wrong. You got to start to look at options. Yeah, you know, you do not want to make this a sweat factor. You know, last four or five games of the season where it's nip and tuck with the Cincinnati Reds, you've got a working margin here. Don't get concerned about the National League East. Now you just got to punch your ticket to the playoffs. And this rotation outside of one guy is really, and maybe one and a half. Holmes has not been brutal. You know, Peterson's was, you know, brutal in the month of August. Since we've gotten him back off the IL, Kodai Senga has been dreadful. And then you look at Manaea, who, as you mentioned, you know, the longer, you know, in first couple of innings looks pretty good. You keep him in there, the velocity drops like a stone.
Yeah, you know, Mark, what's another thing that's alarming? They got one homestand left. They're in dangerous territory, Mark.
Yeah, are they really in dangerous territory when you look at it? Do you really think that this Met team's not going to make it to the playoffs?
No, I think they'll make it, but don't forget, the other teams are creeping up. Cardinals are 5.5. You know what I'm saying? If Cincinnati doesn't do it, what if these Arizona or San Francisco's 5.5? What if one of these teams, us being on the road, what if one of these teams play steady ball?
Yeah,
you got to worry about three of them now.
Well, right, and you're looking at a stretch now, which is going to be, you know, particularly difficult. You got three with Detroit, three on the road with Cincinnati, then four in Philadelphia, three with Texas, three at home against San Diego, three at home against the Washington Nationals. Then you finish the season on the road in Chicago and down in Miami. Yeah, I mean, you know, they've got their work cut out for them. I don't think the teams trailing them are going to play consistently well enough. The Mets are going to have to help out the cause. Now, could they? Listen, we're talking about a team that just lost 3 of 4 at home to Miami.
I hope you're right, Mark. You know, let's just, but you know what? Would you bring up Sproat along with the...
I mean, I would consider it. Yeah, I mean, I think would I consider Sproat? Yes. I think right now all options are on the table. I think McGill, as long as he gets through his next rehab start, A-OK. I think McGill is going to probably be part of the equation as well. Let's head up to West Point. It's Jerry. It's the fan. What's going on, Jerry?
Hey, Mark. Listen, first of all, happy Labor Day. And I don't know if there's anybody busier than you, Mark. Holy cow, Batman. Listen, I just wanted to say two things. Very frustrated Met fan. But on the second part, you did a great job the other night at the Meadowlands. I just want to tell you and Dave Little are awesome. And if you've never done it, get behind the bike, man. It'd be awesome for you to see you get behind one doing 35 miles an hour.
No, Jerry, we did those the Sportscaster Derby for a number of years.
I know. You know, Mark, I wasn't sure. To be honest with you, I remember that, but I wasn't sure if you ever was in the bike or not.
Yeah, I was in the, myself. No, I had a driver, you know, I had a driver with me. I wasn't able
with
on
you,
the rings. No,
yeah.
No, I'd be dead.
But listen,
Jerry.
Go by yourself, man.
No,
I'm not going.
I value my life. I'm not going to go out there and do that myself. No. And I enjoyed the ride. I enjoyed sitting there, having the dirt kicked in my face and all that kind of stuff. It was great. You get appreciation for how fast it goes, and they are really, really quick. But I will not do it by myself. No.
Yes, sir. Listen, great job, and you could do it if I could do it, Mark. Listen, great job, man. Awesome, and you got a new life at the Meadowlands. You should be on TV more. Talk to you later, buddy.
All right, you got it, Jerry. Appreciate the call. And there you have it. Beautiful West Point, New York. 10:55, Melusis with you. 888-808-1019.
Talk. Wake up with Boomer and Geo. Morning 6 to 10 on WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. WFAN.
Good morning at 11 o'clock. I'm Chris Lopresti. This report is sponsored by Flushing Bank. The Mets in the month of August set franchise records with 177 runs scored, 53 homers. They hit 285 as a team and 866